Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Super excited. We get up so early to do these.
Super early.
To do these podcasts with one of our favourite guests ever, Dr. John Gray. Welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be with you again.
John, it's great to have you here. It's very early in the morning. It's 1:30 in the morning here.
No, it's not that early.
No, it's not.
But it's afternoon. You're over in California.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
is it sunny in California? Are you in the desert area? Or?
Blue skies and sunshine and perfect temperature. It's a lovely day.
Nice.
But see, I don't live where there are fires and there's floods and there's hurricanes and there's earthquakes. I live in some perfect place. I don't know. The weather's always great here. Mill Valley, California, right near San Francisco.
Awesome. Sounds awesome.
So you can get the wrath of God at any point in time.
So
actually, I don't have any concern about it. We've had earthquakes. We're not touched. I'm on a mountain that doesn't get affected.
Right. Nice. Okay. So, John, as you know, we always kick off with a song, mate. What is your song for today?
Well, I want to know what love is.
Oh, I love this. Who sang that? I want to know what love is.
Yeah, a big chorus backing it up.
I have a terrible voice this morning. Who sang it?
I don't know. I'm just thinking. I don't remember.
I can't remember. Do you remember who that was?
It wasn't Journey, but it was one of those. It was. I think it was like One Hit Wonders.
Hold on. The lyrics. I can't see it. It is.
Foreigner,
yeah.
There
can
you
try that for me, please, Tash? Can you try that for me, please? Yes. cool. So. Foreigner, that's right.
Foreigner.
Such a great band, Foreigner, as well. Like, they were like the Cars, they were like the Eagles, not the Wiggles. Anyway, let's get into this.
What I was going to say, John, our clients love when we talk to you. They love hearing your perspective on relationships, and we had a couple of little questions last time. Do you want us to kick off with that? Should we kick off with?
Yeah, let's kick off with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of one of the things that we've noticed over the years, and one of the comments that we had once we did the last podcast was, you know, when people come along, they come to us and work on their personal development, work on themselves, and then sometimes they're a little bit afraid to do that because they feel like they're going to work on themselves but their partner isn't working on themselves, so that they're going to leave their partner behind. Or they're trying to get their partner to come up, I don't know, up or down, but like come to the level that they have in terms of their understanding of life and the universe and how, you know, we talk about finances a lot, so how to manage finances. And there's one of the things that we notice in a lot is that a lot of people come along and say, you know, I can't get my husband to do this, or I wish my husband was here to do this, or I'm afraid that I'm going to leave him behind if I go ahead and do some work on myself. So I was wondering if we could speak into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of issues coming up. The one that I don't want to be disrespectful to someone, but at the same time, it's rather silly, which is I'm afraid. I know it can be a real fear. We can have our fears. I love my partner. I don't want to start over again. But if I grow, I'm going to pass them up. Well, I've been growing my whole life and never passed up my partner. Okay. So that's a little confusing. We grow for ourselves to be better people, to love more. And if you grow, you don't feel like I'm better than my partner. Although a lot of people do. You can hear women particularly go, where are the conscious men? You know, there's no conscious men around. You know, I'm so enlightened and men aren't. Where do I find these men?
Yeah.
What you find in your relationship is a reflection of you in some way. That's what we have to wake up. And no, they're really, when it comes to relationships, you look around and then we feel like victims of our partner because we don't understand our partner. That's it. If you understand your partner, then you realize the reason they react to me the way they do is because I react to them the way I do.
Yes. Is based on communication. How they're responding to you is based on how you communicate.
And you know, the purpose of communication is to seek understanding, but you have to have the correct understanding of the language your partner is speaking. You have to have the understanding of where they're coming from. You know, sometimes my partner is all upset about something and she wants me to like come and ask questions and be there for her. And a part of me resisted that because she's being childish at those times, overreacting to something. And people do overreact. Okay. So let's be real here. And she's stuck in her upset and she wants me to come and apologize to her. And there's a part of me as a man that kind of goes, wait a second, you know, I didn't do that much and she's being so awful about this thing.
Yeah.
So men will tend to minimize whenever women amplify. That's a key thing. It happens a lot. Now, certainly it can be the other way around. Everything I say can be the other way around. Keep that in mind. But most commonly, emotions are amplification. If you're upset, you're amplified. Oh, this is a big problem. You're not listening to me. What's a bigger problem? And I'm crying and whatever. And there's a part of men that kind of goes, you know, you're not going to get me to come apologize by a bunch of whining and whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I realized I have a compassionate side and realized that, you know, she's upset about something. She needs me to come to her and give her an apology and be kind and gentle to her and give that understanding, not because I'm a bad guy or whatever, because that's what she needs. And we don't understand each other what we need. Men will often be upset and we want to pull away. We want to go to our cave. And women are like, how could he do that to me at this time? But that's what he needs for him. Men manage emotions by detaching from them if they're effective. I'm going to go play tennis. I'm going to go drive my car. I'm going to go watch a movie. I'm going to forget it. I'm going to make a joke about it. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, can't we just forget it and start again, have sex? You know, this is the way men can process things. Because when you let go of upset emotions, if you can let it go, then what's happening is you're detaching and that increases the male hormone testosterone. Now, testosterone is the well-being hormone for men. It's not taking testosterone, that doesn't do it. It's making testosterone. And you make testosterone when you're a man or a woman, when you feel confident, when you feel I got things under control, I can do it. I got this handled. It's not a big deal, not to worry about it. No problem. I'll solve the problem. That is the well-being state for men. And you can measure at that state, that is testosterone levels surging in his body. We have a big misunderstanding about men's aggression and violence and so forth. We think that's testosterone, but actually his testosterone, he's lost his confidence. His estrogen levels are shooting up. Wow. Estrogen is a female hormone and women need 10 times more estrogen to have peace of mind and than a man. And women need 20 times more estrogen to fall in love and enjoy sex. So why do women lose interest in sex with their partners? Because they're not making enough estrogen. Is it his job to make estrogen in her? No. It is her job to make testosterone in him? No. That's up to us to do on our own. That's what we have to give up the blame.
So let me ask this question. What you're saying is that, are you saying that when a man gets aggressive or angry or even into violence, it's because the testosterone, the estrogen levels are high?
Oh, it's always estrogen. It's his, he's being a woman at that time. That's what people don't get is why do I rough up? Oh, I'm going to get all mad and everything because I'm afraid. I'm in my emotions. I don't know what to do. So I have to use monkey skills to do it. Wow. Insecurity, fear is taking me over. And whenever fear goes in your body, whether it be a man or woman, estrogen levels are soaring. Wow. And then if you're a male and you see the fight or flight reaction is more prevalent in men, fold and fake and freeze is more common in women, but it can be either way. But if you're a male and as a child, you witness violence, then when your estrogen goes up, you have a greater tendency to be violent. If you've never seen violence and your estrogen goes up, you'll tend to, instead of fight, you'll flee, right. You'll withdraw. So the man who's best for you women is the guy when he gets upset, he wants to spend time alone. That's the safe man.
Okay.
That's what the man who witnessed his parents arguing and fighting or actually violence and towards him or around him, then there's an automatic conditioning response when the cortisol levels go up, the stress hormones go up to fight. And what we have to do as men is to realize whether we're fighting or fleeing or basically we're doing it to find balance again. And the healthy way for a man to find balance is to detach, which can mean to pull away, take time to rebuild your testosterone, and then come back. Another way if you look at fighting in a positive way, is fight for your relationship by doing the right thing. If you can, if you're trained. Now, I'm trained. I went through years of training to do this. Most men don't have that training. So I suggest for them, just flee for a while and learn how to bring your testosterone back up and then come back and be a better husband. That's the simple technique that can work for everybody. Once you're doing that, you can do a more advanced technique, which is to fight for your relationship. If you're under stress, do what works. Now, what works to keep men's stress levels down is silence. Think about it. You know, I'm an ancient man on a hunting trip, and I'm in danger. What do you do when you're in danger?
Go quiet.
You go quiet and you hide. You either go hide or you get quiet, you know?
Right.
And you steady your aim. If you're going to attack, you steady your aim and you know what to do. You're trained to do what to do. So when my wife and I used to argue, it'd be horrible because I get angry. As soon as you get angry with a woman, she'll shut down. She's now got to pull her sword and become a man too. She can't be vulnerable. She can't appreciate. She can't receive anything you say or do. So what I'm going to do is fight for my marriage, fight for my relationship. I'm a good fighter. I just had to learn the skills. I'm kind of like a kung fu guy. You know, you see these kung fu guys, they never get upset. They're doing, you can have 10 people. They're just shoo, choo, choo. You know, they're completely detached. They know what they're doing. They're trained to do it. And the training for men to practice, it's not in the most heated situations. The practice is steadiness, stability, and being curious, being interested. Curiosity, being interested, and non-reactive. That means no emotion. That means non-reactive. If you can be non-reactive, then you will start to feel more empathy. See, empathy comes for someone else if you're not reactive. Reactivity is, but I feel this, but I don't like that. Yeah. But you're attacking me. That's reacting back. You're mirroring back what you think someone is blaming you. You want to blame back. Somebody's angry back. This is our lower nature, and we all have it. But what we do is we train ourselves to go above our lower nature to our higher nature, which we have to train for, which is you have to have skills. So what's the skill for men when women are upsetting you a bit? Silence. And then show curiosity. And then you can use questions. You can say, help me understand that better. Right. You can say, tell me more. You can say, what else? And all of those things put you in control. You see, it's all about feeling I'm in control. I've got this.
Right.
You know, think about the most popular statue of a man in the world. I don't know if you know what it is.
Is it holding the world? Is that the
one? No, that's not the most popular.
Is it the thinking man?
Those are all very popular for sure, but not the most popular. Meaning there'll be lines of women wanting to see that statue that go on all day long. That's in Florence, Italy.
Right.
There's always a long line of people, particularly women, wanting to watch that statue. It's the statue of David and Goliath.
Ah.
It's this tall, naked man. He's completely naked.
Yeah.
All these women are taking pictures. They're seeing this guy. But the magic of this story is here's this David guy, and he's got his slingshot in his hand. And I can't really demonstrate it here visually, but you just put the hand to the side. And he has this look where he's sizing up Goliath, this giant of a guy. And he's got his slingshot and he says, I can take this guy.
Right.
It's pure confidence. I can take this guy. And whenever I even do a show and I demonstrate that, I get chills in my body.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing that's most attractive about men to women is a guy who's confident, a guy who's unruffled, a guy who doesn't react back. That's the foundation of I got this.
Mm-hmm.
But see, relationships have changed so much. You know, many women complain, oh, he's not really into relationships. He doesn't want to take this class. He doesn't want to read this book. If you look at 90%, even 95% in most cases, of the people that read self-help and relationship books are women. Mm-hmm. Now, some men do, and it is a good thing. There's nothing wrong. I write them. I read a bunch to be able to write them, okay? So.
Yeah.
But if you just look at statistic-wise, if a guy doesn't take relationship classes, if a guy doesn't go to a counselor, if a guy doesn't read those books, does it mean you can't have a great relationship? Mm-hmm. Does it mean he doesn't love you? Does it mean he's not interested in a relationship? Mm-hmm. It means he's reading a different kind of relationship book. It's in another department. It's called How to Make Money. It used to be that if a guy had a good job, that's all you needed for a relationship to thrive. Mm. That was it.
It's kind of like when when I find that happening with people, and it definitely tends to happen more with women, there's a level of subordination that goes on. You know, I've always said to people that the feminine energy is the dominant energy. You know, this is Mother Nature here. It's, if it was meant to be Father Nature, it would be called Father Nature. It's Mother Nature. And but it seems that, you know, it, sometimes it seems hereditary that the woman will subordinate to the man's position. Do you know what I mean?
And not out of wisdom. Out of wisdom. It's just a play. It's a manipulation that women figured out. This is all our lower intelligence over the history. I mean, first of all, let's just think about what often women feel in the feminist movement. They'll talk about how women have been oppressed. Right, okay. Now, right. Certainly oppression happens, particularly in the modern world today, sure. in the primitive, massive oppression. It goes on, not in America, but in other places. Okay. But basically, look at the more traditional societies, which were happy, were fulfilled, were only warring with neighbors and not themselves. Okay. And couples stay together. You look at how you created harmony. And I can just look at my parents to figure that one out. They had a very harmonious traditional relationship. What traditional relationships look like. Imagine 1,000 years ago, God came down to earth and said, okay, women, Mother Nature, we want to honor you. Okay, so we're going to divide the jobs up because that's every relationship. What is my job? What's your job? That's how you produce. And basically, the men said, okay, well, women are fantastic. So women, whatever you don't want to do, we'll do. That's the division of labor between men and women. You don't want to go hunting where you could die. We'll do that. If there's a storm and you need to go thatch the roof, we'll go out and do that. We don't have shoes. If you want to walk around the jungle and get bit by snakes, we'll do that. You can stay home. What do you want to do? Well, I like to stay with the kids. I'm most of the time breastfeeding my kids anyway, taking care of the kids, being with other women who speak the same language as me. We'd like you to go out and do all the dirty work, the dangerous work, the difficult work, and the life-threatening work. Mm-hmm. And men said with a big smile, okay, we'll do that. Now, how did women figure out how to do that? Okay, women maintain that. And the way they do that is by building statues to those men, by appreciating those men. Statues of men is not oppression of women. It's women's intelligence. If you want a guy to go to battle and give up his life, you better build him a statue. When he comes home, there better be a parade. You learn the power of getting what you want from a man. And men learn the power of getting what they want. They want to come home and be comforted by their wife. That's the old phrase. What is a woman's role in a relationship? Is to comfort their man after he's gone out and fight the battles. Right. Now, when you fight a battle, when you kill others for protecting your family, do you think your heart can be open all the time? No. And that's what testosterone is. It's leave the feelings behind and do what works. Solve the problem. Don't whine and complain. Right. Basically, get it done. And that's masculinity. Now, what we want today is a balance of masculine and feminine inside of every person, an integration of those two things. Mm-hmm. And that creates trouble. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in now, which is women don't want to just be doing the female role, which was not subordinate. It was a role where they got men to do stuff by not doing everything. You see, when women are so unhappy today, I see this all, I'm doing this 50 years. Women will say, I feel so overwhelmed. There's so much to do. I have to do all these things. My mother never felt that way, because she had her job. My dad had his job. His job primarily was make money. And if the boys, six boys, if the boys are not listening to mom, then I'll tell your father. So he was the policeman. He's the policeman of the house. And he was basically the provider of the house, and nothing more was expected from him. Mm. You have to get that. This is how men, you know, women go, why is he not doing this? Why? Nothing's ever been expected of men in the home, asking him to do more, nor was any romantic skills expected, nor was he expected to listen to her feelings, was she ever upset with him if he made money, because that's what she needed. Okay, that was her primary thing, protection and providing a security for the family. Right. Because he was good at that, there was harmony in the family. Now, after all the kids grew up, they stopped having sex, and he certainly had several other women to have sex with. She didn't have a problem with that. See, this is the way today, even in France, you know, when you go to the funeral, somebody, the wife is there, she's standing next to the mistress, they're friends. They all knew, everybody knew in the world, that if you have children, the romance goes away. That's the way that it's called, the honeymoon phase. Then you have your domestic partner. Then if you've got money or attractiveness, so you have women will be available to you. Yeah. Not every man is going to have women come to you, see, but if you have financial resources, and this was an amazing story. I mean, this is like, we need to hold everything in context. And while I'm saying it, I'm a massive promoter of monogamy. Okay. Monogamy is the answer to grow in love, but monogamy means I don't have sex with anybody else. But it also means my wife loves sex more than me. That's, if you want to keep a relationship going, women, your job, you want the old fashioned woman, build a statue. Well, men don't go out and kill people, whatever, for you. And you're out there doing stuff. What he needs to experience in the bedroom, he's king. Right. He's taking you to places you can't go with anybody else. And you are so grateful for that. That's called great sex. That's called not him having to convince you to have sex.
Right.
You want to have sex. Why do you want to have sex? Because your hormones are in balance. That's the new woman.
Yeah.
See, old women couldn't have that. But when you have both your masculine side and your feminine side, that means you can have testosterone and estrogen. And when you have testosterone, it gives you the desire for sex. And the estrogen gives you the orgasm in sex. You can't have the orgasm without the estrogen. It has to become 20 times higher than a man for a woman to have an orgasm. But for her to desire sex, she needs to have maybe like, what is it, like 30 times more testosterone than she normally feels. So there's a lot of women that on their male side, they want to have sex, but they don't have orgasms. They don't enjoy sex. They kind of go after the guy, and she's the man. He'll lose interest in her.
Yeah.
He needs to be the man in the relationship. Women can be the man at work and do whatever you want at work. But at home, you have to figure out how to motivate a man to be masculine rather than take care of him and do things for him. He becomes passive and just, you know, he sits in front of the TV after that. You know, basically, you have to learn how to enlist him into doing what you need. Before you can enlist someone into doing what you need, you have to know what you need. Women today don't know what they need. So many women even say to me, they're divorced. Why do I even need a man?
Yeah.
You probably heard that.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. We hear it the other way around as well. Yeah. You know, I hear exactly. Men going, why do I need a woman? You know,
why do I need it? We've lost touch with what we need because we don't need each other the way we used to. Mm-hmm. Men got married because they couldn't get sex without being married. Mm. I was just reading the Bible in Matthew today. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery and you should cut off your hand. It was just like, this is like craziness. You know, they did that to terrorize men. You can't just go have sex. You've got to like make a commitment to a woman. Because it's a responsibility. If you're going to have sex, you make babies. If you make babies, you can't just leave her and go to some other woman. Mm. And what I now know is that what we have to realize, the world's a different place now. We can't play by the old rules. But we're trained to. Our brain is automatically trained. Men do not. Women have to understand about men. The most important thing about men is men don't understand you. Mm. You don't understand him. Clearly, women are going, I don't understand why he does this, why he does. Yeah. You have to get, he doesn't understand you and he doesn't know he doesn't understand you even.
Yeah.
He just goes, she doesn't make any sense. My wife's a bit crazy, but much of the time she's wonderful. Yeah, you know, but she's never crazy when you understand emotions. Yeah, emotions. Yeah. You see, what's happening is women go over to their male side, which is independence and detachment. That's one of 12 qualities I talk about in my one of my books over here called Beyond Mars and Venus. It's my most recent relationship book. And it's, you really have to understand these qualities of masculinity and femininity. And of course, there's so much confusion today. You're politically incorrect. You could be canceled if you say the stuff I say.
Yeah.
Nobody can cancel me because I don't work for anybody. Yeah. But if you work for somebody, you say the things I say, you're canceled. One of those big talk show hosts just got kicked off of the biggest show in America, Jeopardy. Because 20 years ago, he said in an interview, women got boobies.
Yeah. It's insane. But this is just what is happening in the world. It's like, you know, it's like the whole cancel culture is just like, it's just nonsense. You know, you have people, you know, apologizing for things that they said 20 years ago because of this crazy culture of and this change of, you know, this delusion of equality. We need inequality. You know, inequality.
Again, let's get the right. Let's grow. let's get the better, good language that works for both sides.
Sure.
We want equality, but we don't demand or even expect sameness.
Yes. Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that.
Ironically, the big theme in America right now is equality. Everybody goes, oh yeah, equality sounds great, you know? And then another one is inclusion. Okay, include. Yeah, we want to bring everybody together. That's a, you know, the Western world is inclusive. We want to support everybody, respect everybody. And ironically, inclusion means respecting differences.
Yes.
If I demand you think the way I do, cancel culture, I'm not respecting you and I'm not being inclusive. The people who are crying out for inclusiveness are the most exclusive. You have to think my way or you're going the highway.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, very good.
But equality, it sounds good. Inclusiveness, it sounds good. And then they say equity.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what equity is except you have equity in your house, right?
Yeah.
What is equity? When they say equity, equity means the same outcome for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless of how much work you put in, everybody should make the same. Everybody should get the same.
Yeah.
We should have equal opportunity, but equal opportunity is then you have a bunch of people. The person who performs best gets the job.
Yeah.
The person who does better gets more.
Yeah.
Equity is everybody wins. A baseball, the kids are playing the game.
Participation certificate for just running the
race.
No
competition.
And, yeah.
And ultimately, it's another word for socialism and communism, which
that's
is everybody gets the same. And what that is, it's heartfelt. You see, it's a beautiful thing. We are all more heartfelt, clearly, but then it creates the more dysfunction if we're not balanced by empathy and emotion, but also detachment and reason and logic and accountability and understanding solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
Countries go down the hill when people are not motivated to be their best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens in China. It happened, you know, when once they got communism taking over, the country went down. Then they embraced half of the country, embraced capitalism, and it became this power.
Mm-hmm.
Russia, I've been to all these places. I teach everywhere. Russia used to be this thriving place when they had a king. It was a king, but it wasn't equity. Everybody didn't get the same. You had to perform better to get more.
Yeah.
And there was a certain degree of that. And then suddenly they want to go to the dictator communist government. You can just see when you leave the airport I think it's Moscow and also in St. Petersburg. You can go to the heart of the city. It's beautiful. There's art, there's architecture, there's music, the best literature. Then communism comes along and says, oh, we can't favor one person over the other. So we're going to kill all the smart people. We're going to kill all the talented people.
Right.
And you can see architecture becomes more and more bland and bland. It tells a bunch of boxes.
Yeah.
And you can see this is their lineage of how they just went down.
Mm.
And ironically, you go to Russia. It's very funny. They can't even make cars there. The Russian-made cars just are like old-fashioned cars,
The
police are driving these crummy Russian cars. But they did excel in violent things. They have good warfare techniques and so forth, just as China does now, because they copy America. Everything is copied. Anyway, having said that, we have to have a balance, not just in our culture, but also in our relationships. It's balancing the masculine, which says, I did a good job, so I get love. If I don't get a good job, I don't get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's like a family. If you work hard, you get more. But if the child is sick, they're going to get more, more nurturing, more caring, more understanding. You're not going to say, hey, get up and get a job. You know, you're mentally ill. No, I'll take care of you and try to educate you and help you. So we need to balance the heart with the mind. You know, this is what we have to do in our relationships right now. So if we want to have what we want, this modern world, we have to realize a dramatic change has taken place.
Mm.
Women are more masculine than ever before. Men are more feminine than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a bad thing? No, if we can integrate the two. Now, integrate the two means, here I am, I'm a hardworking man. That's 28 books behind me that I've written. Anybody who's ever tried to write a book, it's hard as hell.
Yeah.
It's discipline, it's hard work, it's sacrifice, huge amount goes into it. And then the bullshit that you get when people say you're a sexist.
Yeah.
So I fight a battle. I'm a warrior doing it, but I'm as happy as can be.
Mm-hmm.
I love my work. I love people. I love my wife. I love my children. So I'm happy and fulfilled. So I'm successful on one hand, and I also enjoy my life. Those are the two elements of masculine and feminine coming together.
Right.
And what's happening is you've got a lot of successful women and they're not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are failing. And now They want their husband to change for them to be happy. They don't realize they're the unhappy one. When the women say, where are the conscious men? I say, where are the conscious women?
Yeah.
And they have all this loftiness because they know better, and they do know lots of things that men don't know, without a doubt, but they don't know how to be happy and healthy. And these are like the most important things, healthy and happy. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that. They're stressed out. They're stressed out. Their hormones are out of balance. They're depressed. They're taking drugs for depression, for anxiety. They're not having orgasms. Women's bodies are designed to make orgasms. Mm-hmm. If you're a monkey, even you can have an orgasm when you're in heat. Women today can't have orgasms because they don't understand how to increase their estrogen levels. It's pure biology. Mm-hmm. And if you're making testosterone all day, that's called solving problems, sacrificing what you'd like to do, what you'd like to do, what you enjoy doing, what you love doing is your female side. That's estrogen producing. So I'm making a lot of estrogen right now. Mm-hmm. So you see the blood flow go to my face, you know, a lot of circulation going on. I love it.
You're about to have an orgasm, John.
It's ecstatic. My work is ecstatic. I would be depressed if I didn't have a job. that's my male side. The male side is solving problems. So when women are on the male side,
So the question is, John, that I have is, so, I mean, we can't have growth without some sort of push-pull. We require that, right? And if that is what's happening, if there is a change occurring, then what's the message? You can't go backwards to move forwards. So, I mean, for those women that are out there and are going, holy shit, you're right. You know, I am doing all these masculine things, but I am unhappy. You know, how do I shift what I, you know, because you can't take off people the fact that they want to go do those things.
I don't want to go back in time. Yeah. If you go back in time, you're stuck in a passionless marriage. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at what I was going to talk about a little bit, is something called the four R's.
Right. And,
but the quick answer to what you just said, which is a big, big issue, and you clearly said it. We don't want to move back in time. We want the freedom. Women want their freedom. And I want my freedom to having a job that I enjoy doing. I like vacations. I like sex. I like romance. I like being with my kids. I'm a father. You know, I'm one of the few people that's massively successful who brought his kids to school nearly every day.
Right.
I took my kids to school. I did the homework with them at night. You know, I'm a real family man. And yet somehow I wrote all these books and I've traveled the world. How did all that happen? It takes balance. Okay. It takes balance and understanding, and a wife. I have to tell you, a wife who trained me. She said, John, I can't have estrogen and have you gone all the time.
Right.
I'm not going to be turned on to you. Mm-hmm. I have certain needs. I need communication. I need empathy. I need understanding. I need foreplay. I need doing things with you. I need you to think about me. I need compliments. I need four hugs a day. Lots of stuff she taught me. It's all in my books. Men have to realize it's not a big deal to do this if you understand what you're doing. If you don't understand women, it just seems like you become frustrated because you don't know why it's not working. And the same thing for women. They feel more blame. When it's not working for women, they typically blame the man. Okay. It's always, and even when a woman has an affair, it's always his fault.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it is his fault and her fault.
Yeah.
And if he hasn't a fault, if he has an affair, it is his fault and it is her fault. They're just people who don't know how to create lasting passion. They're not willing to settle for the old fashioned relationships where passion went away. They want passion in a lifetime and they want passion together. But if they can't get it, for man particularly, but for some women, how can you stay in a relationship that has no passion if you love passion? You want to feel alive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you have the opportunity, if you know how to do it, then that becomes the priority. And for people who don't know how to do it, all they have to do is look in the movies. And they get all turned on in the movies and they think, that's what I want. I'll just find a new partner. Finding the new partner isn't the answer. Finding a new strategy for having a relationship in the modern days, that's the solution. Because
right.
mm-hmm. ecstasy happens when you're blending these masculine, feminine things together, integrating them together. So what happened in the traditional relationship? We'll just look, it's a simple concept. It's so helpful for people. Where does the passion go? Four R's, I call them, real simple, like reading, writing, arithmetic, even though arithmetic. Okay, is the four R's. It's resistance, resentment, rejection, and repression. You can watch this happening in marriages over time. And in a sense, it happens in little loops right away. But first thing is the stages that couples go through if they don't sustain passion. Okay. The first one is resistance. Mm-hmm. Now, resistance is, you know, sometimes my wife, when she eats soup, she makes a little noise when she eats soup. And she's always done that. It was never a problem in the beginning. But suddenly I start feeling annoyed and irritated when she's this kind of, you know, your partner does things that you didn't mind in the beginning, but now they're annoying to you. It's just annoying. Like a thing that I did that really annoyed Bonnie is I would walk through the house and leave the living room light on. It was just so annoying for her. Now, after it's annoying for a while, it will turn into resentment. It's like the mind will start comparing. He used to be more loving to me. Now he's not. And the mind starts looking for reasons that I'm not getting the love I need. Now that's resentment. But first it's resistance. Resistance, a little irritation, a little annoyance. And well, what do you do about that? Well, you don't get her to stop slurping. You don't try to change him to turn out the light. That's a little thing. It's not a big deal. You see, massive amounts of upset in relationships were okay in the beginning. It wasn't a big deal. And now we make it a big deal because it happens over and over and over because you cannot change your partner. So you feel they don't love you. No, it doesn't mean they don't love you. It means that's what they do. And it wasn't a big deal in the beginning, but now it's a big deal. You're starting to get annoyed and irritated. So what's going on here? You have needs as a woman. You have needs as a man. And in the beginning of a relationship, you imagined you're going to get all your needs met. And to a certain extent, you did. What is the need for a woman when he proposes to you? He kneels before you and says, I dedicate my life to you. You're the most special woman in the world for me. I love you. I'll always be here for you. I'll protect you. I'll be your man. Okay. So she's imagining he's always going to be there. So boom, what does she give him in response? She's smiling. She's wearing a beautiful dress. She's loving, you know, basically happy, loving, appreciative. She can build a statue for him. That's what she's giving him. Appreciation, trust, accepting him just as he is. And why not? Because he seems so amazing. And he's over here thinking, here's this woman who's smiling, who loves me, who appreciates me. I kneel before her. I'll die for that. That's what we feel. And then turns out that we're not always getting that attention that we want. So we think, what's missing? Well, what's missing is what we were getting in those beginning years that we couldn't articulate. What we were getting is men need messages again and again and again that he is successful in providing for her. Any message that is not that is going to push him down. It's going to push his testosterone down. He's going to have less love, less motivation, less energy for you because you pushed him down. And you say, yeah, but he does. He keeps leaving that light on. I've told him over and over. How can you forget?
Yeah.
Okay. So you pushed him down. We're not talking about big things here. Okay. My husband beat me up. We're not in that category. Although that's what happens over time when couples continually deprive each other of what they need, people go crazy. But let's just not go to that area. We're talking about nice people who love each other, who don't feel passion anymore. Right. Yeah. So basically what he's getting when he's kneeling before her, honoring her, is he feels appreciated. He feels accepted just the way he is. He doesn't have to be anything more than himself. He's just doing what he does. He's not asked to do anything more. Think about it, women, when you marry a man, how you start asking for more, wanting more. It's like, but in the beginning, it's like, you're fine the way you are. Mm-hmm. See, that's a form of love. It's acceptance. This is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't have to change you. I want what I have. Mm-hmm. You see, women go, I don't want what I have. I want to change what I have. Yeah. How is he going to feel accepted, appreciated, and trusted? He's your man. You can depend on him. I know you can tell me, women, oh, but he's not that anymore. Okay, we got that. But the reality is he, to thrive in the relationship, needs to feel accepted, appreciated, and trusted. And anything you say or do that counters that is going to push him down. Now, what's he doing on his side? He's not giving you what you needed. You're the most special person. You're number one. I care about you above all others. I care about you. I listen to you. I understand. I'm eager to learn about who you are. You know, in the beginning, men are very interested in what women are saying. You can go into a restaurant and you can see who's married and who's not.
Yeah.
Because the man who's married is looking around the room or looking at his food. Yeah. The guy who's single is looking at her. He's listening to her. He's asking questions. He's interested in her. Yeah. But we lose that. And part of we lose the fuel for that. She doesn't feel he cares about me. He understands me. And he clearly doesn't understand you, because men, because we don't understand women, we're kind of like a bull in a china shop. We don't mean to knock everything over. We just do. Yeah. Realize, according to your rules of life and how life should be, you have all these expectations. He doesn't understand your needs. When he understands your needs, he can actually be motivated to do make changes within himself through understanding what you need, not being blamed for not giving you what you need. Mm-hmm. And respect. The thing that women need most is to feel respect. That's this whole idea of when we talked earlier about equality and what was that? How do we say it? Equality and equity. Remember, it was hard for me to come up with
equity.
What was it?
You were talking.
No, equity. Equity is the bad thing. But what's the other good thing?
Equality.
Inclusion.
Inclusion. Yeah.
Inclusion. Okay. Yeah. So you can't be inclusive if you don't respect that people are different. Mm-hmm. That's what demanding that you be like me is the opposite of inclusiveness.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of equality.
Yeah.
And yet the people that demand us, and this is what women do in relationships. They think if he loves me, he would do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't look at that woman. He'd only look at me.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the reality. Mm-hmm. That's why she cut off his hand.
So that's going.
Primitive thinking. If he's attracted to another woman, what does that mean? That means he's not inside of you right now because you didn't have an orgasm. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. I just want you to understand this, women. I'm a man. I'm 70 years old. I can have sex every day, and I can't even look at another woman and think sex with her. I look at them like daughters and pretty girls and whatever. I'm not interested in the slightest bit because I have great sex. Now, not everybody has great sex. I get that. This is like nirvana, enlightenment to be able to do this. But we need lessons to do it. We need to have outside the relationship skills, inside relationship skills. And think about what message a man gets when a woman wants to be naked with him and enjoys him touching her and wants him to become inside of her. I trust you. I accept you as you are. And I appreciate you. I'm enjoying this so much. Mm-hmm. You're giving him the fuel that he needs to be that Superman that you did have sex in the beginning. If you didn't, 99% of couples would never get married. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the reason you could put out those hormones is because you were living in your fantasy of maybe thinking one day you'll get all of this.
So I think, can I just say then, I mean, getting back to what we originally spoke about, When I'm dealing with someone that's coming through, like they're coming through to do some work with us and they're like, oh my God, I'm afraid of the husband. And, my message to them all the time is you have to understand how your husband is being is actually put you in this place to want to grow. So you got to be appreciative and let him know you're appreciative of where he's at. And then.
Oh, I get your point. I'll just say it again. A husband is there for you. Because your life is so easy now, you want to grow.
Yeah.
You know, when your life isn't easy, and I know everybody thinks their life is so horrible and terrible. Go to Afghanistan right now. That's oppression. Okay. That's something to complain about, not what you got right now.
Yeah.
This is we're all a bunch of whiners and complainers and women are the most vocal about it. And then I will say men do it too, but usually just understand the dynamics between men and women. Usually the dynamic between men and women is she'll complain and be upset. He'll then tell her she doesn't need to be upset. She's overreacting in some way. Mm-hmm. Or he says, this is the solution. You should think the way I think and you won't be upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then she becomes more upset and rightly so because she feels invalidated.
Of course.
And once she becomes upset, it's like, I gave you my best solution. You know, people in the world pay me thousands of dollars for my ideas and you don't like them. Mm. So now he feels like he failed. And now he blames you for failing. And now he's upset. And then what happens? We go into what's called mirroring each other. If she's blaming, he blames. If she criticizes, he criticizes. And we have to realize this is automatic conditioning that doesn't work. And you have to stop.
Yeah.
And who has the greatest power to stop it? Men. Men, you got to wake up and be men because you got to stop talking. Stop talking and get her to talk more without reacting. And if you have to react, then say time out. I'm getting upset, I'm angry, or I'm really frustrated, and you don't deserve that. I'm sorry for being angry and frustrated with you. I need some time to cool off, and then we can have another conversation in a few days about this. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you cool off, and you come back and you show her the things that she needs most, which is demonstrate caring, interest, understanding, respecting her wishes and needs the best you can. And respecting, I mean, not making fun of her, not minimizing her, not criticizing her, not demanding more of her, but respecting her. Mm-hmm. honoring her. I hear the worst things. Men will say, like, you need to go to the gym. You're too fat. That should never come out of a man's body, out of his mouth. You know, you shouldn't do this. You can say some of that stuff to a man. It bounces off. You know, we have thicker skin, generally speaking, than women. But when men do it, they don't realize they just gave her thick skin. And if she's thick skinned, she can't just go out of her mind and enjoy sex. Leave logic behind and just enjoy surrendering, letting this man give you pleasure. It's such a beautiful thing. This is only can share between people who are intimate and close. And I know for some people, I have to hold back when I talk about sex because they're not having sex. And often couples aren't having sex. They've gone through the four R's. So the four R's is resistance. You'll start being annoyed by little things because you're not getting those basic needs met, which is what I really need, is to feel loved, successful if I'm a man, to feel special and safe and loved if I'm a woman. Okay, these are our needs. If you're not getting those needs, then little things become big things. Once they become big things, if you don't come back to get what you need, and the first step when you're not getting what you need from your partner is to give yourself what you need to feel good, hormonal balance. Mm-hmm. Now, the next step for that is if you don't do that, it will automatically go into the stage of resentment. This is what happens over time in marriages, is that women will start and men will start comparing how your partner used to be. She's no longer that happy woman. What's wrong with her? Why is she so unhappy? Why is she complaining all the time? And she's going, why is he ignoring me? Why is he neglecting me? Why is he not doing this for me? He used to be happy to see me. She used to be happy to see me. Legitimate complaints. But why are we there? It started with not getting our emotional needs met. Then what happens is negative emotions start to come up. We don't know how to process and let go of negative emotions. And so we push our negative emotions and we stay stuck in blame and resentment. You see, to let go of a negative emotion means I'm letting go of blame. Mm-hmm. I'm realizing I'm part of the problem, not just them. It's such an easy way. Once you understand that we're always part of the problem that we're experiencing, then you don't have so much blame out. Yeah. And also when you have the Mars-Venus ideas, and you just look at this book over and over and over, I suggest just to remind yourself that you don't understand men. He doesn't understand you. So that's our ticket out. We can forgive each other. Kind of like in the Christian Bible, Jesus forgave everybody for tormenting him because he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
They're
a bunch of idiots, you know, come on. But they're good people. They're doing the best they can. And then women come along and go, if he was a more conscious man, and all you're looking at is what he's not doing for you, rather than you're the unconscious one. You don't understand him at all. You don't know how to bring out the best in him. He's not educated for sure. And who's going to ever do that? No book. It's going to be you.
Yeah.
And what he's doing is what men have done for millions of years, is the provider and the protector. And now you want him to use a vacuum machine? And your country vacuum guys don't get much money? Are you kidding? There's no part of him that's incentivized to do that unless he's vacuuming and you happen to get all excited and have great sex right afterwards. He'll start vacuuming every day. You know, the way you need from a man is new today. You do need a man to help vacuuming, help wash dishes, help clean the house, help do these things. But more important than that, just to know, is you need a man that you can feel safe to share what you think and feel. And that takes new knowledge and communication. And a man, you have to reward him for doing that. Here's a gift my wife gave me. I wrote these books. I'm practicing listening to my wife. And she was just stressed out, going all over the place as she's talking. And she saw that I was just sort of, my exhaustion was just, I was wearing out. My posture was going down. Every woman's experienced that. You know, how long is this going to go on? The man's thinking, what can I do? That's the thing I say works. So he's going down. And Bonnie said to me, it was immediately, she did the magical phrase that changed my life. She said, John, I know this seems like a waste of time, but it's really helping me. Thank you for listening. Right, and you don't have to say anything. Yeah. Wow, my life changed. Yeah. Even I wrote a book on that.
Yeah.
Her saying that made a difference. Another one that made a huge difference that she did for me in terms of training is, and nobody, the book's not going to do it. I wrote the book on men going to their caves, right?
Right.
You go to your cave to cope with stress, or if you're upset with your partner, you go to your cave to overcome it. Or if you spend a whole weekend with them and you feel a lot of intimacy, lots of sex, you're going to go to your cave because you had too much estrogen. Whatever it is, if you're stressed or too much intimacy, you're going to go to your cave. So there's this one time we're having a little bit of an argument. I said, okay, I need to take my time out. I'm out of here. And I walked away to go to my cave, which sometimes I go for a drive in my car. I might go to my bedroom, meditate. I might go down to my office and do some work. I do something to forget the problem, come back to feeling like the confident man I am. testosterone going up. So I went to my cave, and this was like a cave for like a day, you know, it was some of the argument. I was just not, my heart wasn't open. It was shut down. I needed time to be alone, to feel independent, to miss her and all this stuff. And there's just no changing it. It's like the conversation we have, it's just bruised. It takes a while for a bruise to heal, just like for women to open up again. It takes time. Well, I came back the next day, and the way we come back after pulling apart, you know, is I just show affection. I just show warmth, and I help out with something. Then she knows, okay, my husband back, friendly, nice, comfortable. Whatever we are arguing about, we don't talk about for a few days. We'll try it again. But we know just to connect back to where we're in harmony. We have a family together. We have a house together. We care about each other. We maybe watch TV together. You know, just feel at ease with each other again. So I came back, and I just, it was stroking her hair, and she just said to me, it was just, it's just so sweet. She said, John, I just want to thank you for protecting me. Because whenever your dragon starts to come out, you take your time out as long as you need. And I'm just so grateful, because every time you come back with more love.
Ooh, I love that. That's nice.
And I now feel like the hero for taking my cave time. How many women give men hero status and statues because he took his cave time? But yeah, we do that because we need that. And now what happens is that's when we don't understand these things, we think we're the victim, whether you're a man or a woman, then you resent your partner. Then what happens if you don't see how you're a part of the problem and start solving it, then automatically resentment is just too painful to live in that state. So you go to rejection. Now, because divorce is so easy today, that's when people get a divorce. Their resentments build up and they get a divorce. What happens if it's hard, you got kids, it's hard to get a divorce. You think maybe I'll do it when the kids grow up. You know, that happens a lot for people. So I'll just stay in this relationship. So you don't leave, but what happens, those still repressed feelings are there. And so what happens is you never want, this is the tendency, whatever your partner wants, you just don't want. When they want to have sex, you don't want to have sex. Yeah. If they want to go to the movies, you want to stay home. If they want to go to the East Coast for vacation, you don't want to do that. Your brain just always goes into the opposite. You just don't want to do it. Now, we would call this, if it was conscious, it would be called passive aggression. You know, I'm going to get back at you by not wanting to do what you want me to do.
Right.
And that's
right.
Something that some people who are just a bit neurotic do and feel justified in. But rejection will happen even if you're not passive aggressive. Your behavior will become, you just become passive aggressive, and you're not intending it. You just don't want to do whatever your partner wants to do. They like sex. You don't like it anymore, period. If they want to talk, you don't want to talk. They want to play a game. I don't have the energy for that anymore. You just don't have that. Well, in the beginning, maybe you don't like playing games, but your partner wants to play a game. You're okay. And then you get along with it, you know, or maybe you like rock and roll music and your partner doesn't, but you think, oh, well, he likes rock and roll, I'll get into it with him. But once you're in rejection, oh, I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just an automatic reaction. And people today, in the past, people went through that. And then after rejection, if you stay, that means you have to bury the pain of not getting what you want. Mm-hmm. And it's, 'cause see, the pain is, I don't get what I want, so I'm not going to give you what you want. That's how the brain works. So that goes into rejection. Then if you stay in the relationship, this beautiful thing happens called repression. And you're now comfortable. And you'll see this with so many of our parents in previous generations. They stayed together. Divorce wasn't easy. They were taught, just be happy with what you got. Don't be so entitled. You can't have all this romance. Everybody knew that the romantic stage of relationships was temporary. And then you settle in. And that's the way life is. And you be a good person and be happy. Don't complain, whatever. And so what happens is, you are at ease with each other. And that's where my parents were. And that's when I told my mother at my dad's funeral, I said, there's this woman here who looks just like a family member. And I went up to her. I said, why are you at my father's funeral? And she said, oh, your father was always so nice to me. I said, where do you live? We lived in Houston. She lived in Austin, which is about a 3-hour drive. And she said, yeah, your dad was always so nice to my family. He bought my car. He put me through college. So I went to she's clearly my sister. And so by another mother. And so I went to my mom and I said, Mom, there's a girl here that looks just like a Gray. You know, it's our family name. So and she said, Dad bought her a car in college. You think maybe that's Dad's child? She goes, I've always known your father has other responsibilities, but he's always taken good care of us. Wow. And in my generation, that was accepted. As long as your husband took care of you and treated you well, was a good provider, and you weren't putting out sex anymore. See, women can't continue continue to enjoy sex without lots of estrogen. And it's built into their body. At menopause, their estrogen levels drop. Doesn't mean she can't have orgasms. You know, I have a friend, his girlfriend is 80 years old. She has orgasms twice a week, you know? So, but they have to learn how to have a lifestyle that promotes estrogen and not primarily testosterone. Mm. And then you can continue to have sex at all ages. But nature hits you with a blow there because your if you've been, you see, once you go through menopause, I know many people are listening are menopause, so I have to address that. You know your estrogen levels are going to go down. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy sex and have all the benefits of estrogen because it's all about balance, the balance of estrogen with testosterone. And once you don't make estrogen anymore at from your ovaries are no longer making estrogen at menopause, then what happens is your adrenal gland can pick up and make estrogen. It's just not going to make as much estrogen. And therefore, you have to be very careful that by the time you get to that age, you've really learned how to be feminine, because you need to continue connected to your feminine side as your male side comes in stronger. You know, that it naturally happens as you get older. If you're a woman, you're going to be more independent, you're more knowledgeable, you're more confident. So your male side comes in. You need to have prepared for that by having a strong female side. And women today are not prepared. They're way on their male side, and not just psychologically. If you're on your male side, you're pumping out adrenaline and cortisol all the time, and you get what's called adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the reason for all of the menopausal symptoms that women have today, is they have an adrenal fatigue, is the adrenal gland can't kick in and balance the fact that your ovaries are no longer making the estrogen. So you need to prepare for old age, have a great life, a lifetime of passion and love, by balancing the male side, the female side. And we men can do a lot. Is, you know, like I mentioned, sometimes my partner would go into being like a big baby and overreacting. And I said, you know, John, just be really kind to her right now. We're not going to be logical. We're going to do what works instead of what's right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, I'm so sorry. I love you. Tell me more. Help me understand that better. Tell me more about that. What else? And just, you have to kind of suffer with her. And then she will release. You see, that's what the opposite of revenge is, empathy. Mm. This is an interesting concept just for fun. I'll tell you this one. It used to be, it's not as clear in movies today, but it used to be you'd always have a good guy and his family, and a bad guy comes in, hurts the family, and he survives. He spends the rest of the movie training to get revenge. Mm-hmm. And the bad guy keeps doing worse things. So finally, everybody in the audience wants revenge, which is our lowest nature as human beings. Right. It's eye for an eye is the lowest nature, as opposed to love and forgiveness and solving the problems. So you basically, at the end of the movie, the bad guy finally gets it. And everybody goes, yay, we've just killed a bad guy. And we're all happy about it. And that's rejoicing. And I think on a certain level, for what it is I have suffered. I suffered by you. I want you to suffer. Mm. So you are now feeling what I feel. And when you feel what I feel, then I can let go and feel good again. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea of revenge. Mm. And it all comes from the monkey state. Just think about it. If we're monkeys, we all were once, they are ancestors. If somebody steps on your foot and you don't have communication, mm-hmm. to be able to communicate your feelings and your pain and have somebody empathize and know what you're feeling. If you don't have the ability to communicate that.
You hit him on the head with a rock.
Well, that's the last thing you do. Okay. First you make a noise, ow. Yeah. And they've never had somebody step on their foot. So they go, oh, that sounds funny. I'll do it again. And I'll do it again. You get louder and louder. And because you don't know how to communicate. So it just becomes an emotional reaction. See, our emotions are primitive reactions. And I'm not saying ever suppress emotions, handle them, manage them appropriately. Yep. So you have to communicate your emotions if they're there, but you communicate them to somebody that won't feel blamed, or you communicate them in a way where the person you're communicating them to doesn't feel blamed. Therefore, you never use negative emotions to try to change your partner. Anytime you use negative emotions to change someone, you're investing in, strengthening in the most lowest part of your nature, which doesn't know how to communicate. And unfortunately, because women have a greater need for estrogen, they tend to be the ones who communicate the most about their feelings as blame. And then their brain goes into a loop where it's always looking for things to blame. And what that means is your brain is always looking for things you're not satisfied with. Mm-hmm. You're looking for things to blame because you use negativity to get what you want. We have to, it's like people that want to use war to create peace. You know, it's a simple logic. If you need war to create peace, then sustain peace, what do you need? Sustained war. And this is America, you know, we're in this never-ending wars, you know. Yeah. It's like we have to solve the problem another way. We have to get beyond it, this revenge thing. But the revenge is real. We want revenge. We want you to feel what I feel. When a woman's upset, she wants you to feel what you feel. So very wisely, if you're a man, you go into the mouth of the dragon there when she's upset. And this takes practice. And you can always step out of it and go to your cave, come back to it without judging her. Realize she's in out of state. She's in a non-logical place as completely cancel culture. That is, oh my God, 20 years ago, you can't say a woman's overreacting. Oh, that would be terrible to do. When Freud said, every time you're unhappy, you're overreacting. Yeah. That's what overreaction is, yeah. Is why not be happy? You're not in Afghanistan. If you're unhappy in Afghanistan, I get it. You know, yeah. You're being totally mistreated. You're suffering. Here, are you kidding? We have such a great life and we make such a big deal about our problems. But for women, talking about problems is a way to produce estrogen. Also, loving is a way to produce estrogen. But if you don't have love in your heart, one of the ways to find it is to talk about problems, talking about problems, the emotions that go with problems of fear, hurt, anger, sadness, disappointment, frustration, embarrassment, shame, all those emotions, if you can feel them in the presence of somebody else who's not defensive. So what women want is these conscious men that can hear your feelings without getting defensive. Are you kidding? What woman can hear me attacking her with my feelings? Yeah. All I have to do is yelling at her. Oh, abuse, abuse, abuse. Yeah. Women are the worst listeners. They can listen to you as long as you're not trying to change them. Women are so good at empathizing. Yeah. But this is just 50 years of experience. Don't tell me I'm wrong here. Mm. I'm talking about, and you say that, oh, you're a great listener. You basically, maybe you're in a great relationship then. I'm not saying, I'm just saying that right now, I was just looking how many people are divorced, you know, and you look at Christians, for example, who espouse, you know, not getting divorced, okay? It's like against their religion. It's adultery if you get divorced in the Christian religion. So they stay together longer and so they're taught to stay together, right? 63% of all 63% of all divorced people are Christians. It's like, it doesn't work. You've got to have relationship skills. Just saying, love your partner and be faithful to your partner and be a kind person and go to church every Sunday. It doesn't do it. You need new relationship skills to back it up. And I'm not against church on Sunday. It's the most wonderful thing. I go to church. I love it. The singing, people connecting together, reading a book that we all agreed on. Although when Jesus says, cut off your hand, I was just reading that today. I was thinking about why the hand? Because if you're lusting after another woman, you're going to use your hand. Yeah. So cut off your hand. I think he knew things. No.
So I think so.
Anyway, your four R's are there: resistance, resentment, rejection, and then repression. Yeah. And when you're in during COVID thing, you're locked down. You're not getting your emotional needs. You can't get your emotional needs. So you become overly dependent on your partner. You get too much intimacy, too much closeness. You're not going to get your needs fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And then you'll start feeling annoyed and irritated. You'll start resenting your partner. You'll start rejecting your partner. You'll go into repression. But for modern people today, before they'll go to repression, they typically will think they're fantasizing, when the kids grow up, I'm going to get a divorce. Mm-hmm. They're already rejecting their partner. And when you're rejecting your partner, you cannot enjoy sex. You can't enjoy making love. And when I say sex, I mean making love. Yeah. That means celebrating your love by being mentally naked, emotionally naked. This is the person you can come home to and be yourself, and then physically naked. There's no greater ecstasy than have all three with somebody who loves you and you love them. And that is a challenge. We need new relationship skills to get there. We shouldn't be hard on ourselves if we don't. One little thing I'm saying for the religious people listening, if you're a Buddhist, Buddha said all life is suffering. Yeah. So don't beat yourself up just because you're having problems. Yeah. And Jesus said, basically, if you love me, you'll suffer. This is what there is all the early Christians were all martyrs. As long as they suffered in the name of Jesus, then they go to heaven. So don't look for your happiness here. You know, so life is suffering. Relationships are suffering until you learn these new skills to work through your stuff, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there's a dynamic there, which I think just, I know we're going way over time, but I want to share one other thing. Love brings up everything unlike itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, see, we all have wounds from our past. When you feel safe in the presence of your partner, those issues come up.
Yeah.
And before your past comes up, just the stuff from your daily grind will come up. Yeah. Because this is what Freud talked about, which is called displacement. If you're unhappy with your job, you'll come home and you'll be unhappy with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Your spouse will be unhappy with the kids. The kids will be unhappy with the dog and kick the dog. So it all gets displaced wherever you feel safe. It gets projected on that. It doesn't see emotions are just emotions. You have to have a smart brain to figure out where did this come from? What is this about? And recognizing any negative emotion is always based upon not understanding the truth of the situation, not understanding the truth of the situation. And my friend says, well, what about fear, John? You know, you have this, I have writers here. We have our debates. And I say, you know, you have to have fear. And I say, why? And he says, well, if you're standing on a cliff, you have to be afraid to jump off. I said, no, if I'm standing on a cliff, my wisdom says that's not a good idea. Yeah. That's wisdom. Yeah. You have to recognize emotions are primitive, but they do let you know that your thinking is wrong. Mm-hmm. So if I'm thinking of jumping off the cliff, I'm going to be emotional to say, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you don't have your higher intelligence, if your heart's not open, mm-hmm. what Jesus said in the Bible is a beautiful thing. When your heart is open, the will of God is written in your heart. Mm-hmm. That's when they were trying to persecute him for healing on a Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. And you broke the rules. You should be punished. And he said, basically, if you're doing God's work, if your heart is open with love, the will of God is written in your heart. Now, while that's true, what happens is when you don't know what you're doing, men's testosterone goes down, women's estrogen levels go down, your heart closes, and then whatever you think is wrong. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to get. Don't trust your feelings when they're not positive. Mm-hmm. Process them, learn how to process them. And that's all this personal growth stuff. And these women who want men to be involved with it, hey, just be glad he's got a job. That's his job, is get a job and you train him with love. That's the power. You have that power, women. You create life. You're the one. This comes from you. You're the source of life. Men are happiest when you're happy. Men can't be happy alone. They depend on you, and you depend on him to do things for you in order for you to grow in your happiness. But the foundation of him doing things for you is that you are grown up, you do things for yourself to be happy, then he can make you happier. As one feminist said, thinking that she was insulting me, she wrote a book, and the book title was "Men Are Just Dessert." And I went, I'm okay with that. We are the dessert in your life. Your life is the main meal. We're happy to be that which brings you higher than anybody else. And that's what intimacy can give us. That's what understanding our needs can do. That's if we can free ourselves from that cycle of resistance to resentment, to rejection, to repression. And once you get the repression or rejection, all you have to do is start taking responsibility to get your needs met, and you'll come right into resentment. Because once I start teaching these ideas, people go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And women will go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And then immediately what they'll feel is, why do I have to do it? They resent that men are not conscious enough to do it. He's doing the best he can. You have no idea the struggles he has to not be pissed off at you, to not say things to you. He's patient with you. The delay gratification he has when you're not interested in sex, the temptations that are there that he doesn't follow. And I did mention that thing about sex. And when I talk about men and sex, in the history of men, I don't judge men who have affairs. What I do is I say they're unfortunate and their wife is unfortunate. They don't have relationship skills in order to make it work. Mm. And therefore, somebody's trying to find happiness. And there's nothing wrong with seeking happiness. That's our right. But unfortunately, we don't know how to be happy today. And it's you know, listening to people like the two of you talk about your relationship and the wisdom of, right, you know, people who actually have successful relationships can be role models for people at this difficult time in the world where we just don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so many women will go, well, relationships too much trouble. A man goes, why even bother? You know, I can go to a restaurant to eat. I can hire a house cleaner. I can hire a girlfriend. What's the big deal? You know, we're missing out on the fullness of life, of what it means to grow in love. And I'll finish up here with one thing my wife said to me at 7 years in our marriage, where she said, we're having sex. You know, I enjoy sex quite a bit. I've got a PhD in sex, by the way. I wrote a thesis on it.
You've got a story to tell us.
You know, I've written books on sex. It was my book, Mars, Venus in the Bedroom, was the number one best-selling book in America for a whole year. It was called Mars, Venus in the Bedroom. It's a great book. It just, I'd be famous for that, except that Men from Mars stayed for 5 years. So, but sex is a really important thing for relationships. It's not, you can't have sex last if you don't have love. Okay, love is the answer, but sex is a big part of it. And it was, and my wife helped me understand this stuff. And it was 7 years into the marriage, and I was, you know, sometimes sex is good, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's like spectacular, you know, and ironically, women, sex is spectacular when you feel they're having all this ecstasy, because he takes credit for it. So he feels like Superman. Anyway, so I said to her after making love, I said, honey, that was magnificent. And she said, yes. And I said, that was as good as it was in the beginning. And she said, oh, it's much better than the beginning. And I thought, oh, were you faking it in the beginning? But I didn't say that. I just said, well, tell me more. Help me understand that better. And she said, oh, John, in the beginning, we had great sex, but you didn't even know who we didn't even know each other. Mm. You know, you didn't know who I was. Now you've seen the best of me and the worst of me, and you adore me. That's what makes sex great. And that was like a Zen teacher giving you a koan that gives you enlightenment in that moment. I hope for some men that might help, because I realized, yeah, I just had to look at my experience. I go, yeah. It was how much love I felt. Yeah. And now I regulate my sexuality, never letting the pleasure be more important than the love I'm feeling for my partner. Oh. Is that you're having sex for the purpose of feeling the love. Because you have to realize men are restricted hugely when it comes to feeling. One, because for our well-being, we have to detach from feelings. And two, if you look at our whole history of being violent and fighting wars and killing animals and doing dirty, dangerous, difficult things, you can't be sensitive and do those things. It hurts. Yeah. It's too much. You have to become insensitive to do the things that men are required to do to provide for their wife so she can be sensitive. She can have that luxury. We've provided that for her, which is what you were just talking about when you said it's because of us men that women have the luxury of all this personal growth, you know, she gets to have that. But actually, when I look at it, I go to another place, which is that it's because women have been able, and they have a man's support to go to their independent side. You know, historically, women were oppressed. You couldn't go to your male side if you wanted to, and culture didn't allow that. So your husband will support that. He encourages you. Yeah, do what you want, honey, do what you want. Already, he's providing that support for you, but you're going to your male side. When you say you want a more conscious man, what you want is a man who's going to help you come back to your female side. And the illusion, the mistake in your brain is that if he was more conscious, then more aware of his feelings, of his sensitive side, more emotionally available, more there for me. If he could be that way, why do you want him to be that way? Mm-hmm. So you could be that way. See, that's the thinking. If he will change, then I can be happy. And that's not the case. But what's happened is women have said, we want you to be more sensitive, more vulnerable. Tell me about your feelings. And men do that. And now they become reactive. They become on their female side. Yeah. And then she's actually more on her male side. She's not getting what she needs by him becoming what women call more conscious, what I call being more self-aware, being more sensitive. Yeah. You don't want men to be more sensitive about what they feel. What you want men to be is more sensitive to what you feel. And all you have to do is say, hey, your job right now for 10 minutes is not to speak. Don't say anything. Don't laugh. Just hear what I say and try to understand my pain. And then I'll feel better. And I'll give you a big hug and say, thank you. It really helped me. Mm-hmm. You just trained him to do a job, just like a fireman puts out the fire. He'll put out that fire instead of telling you, which he's already trying to do, don't worry about it, no big deal. Let him put out the fire by letting you talk and having you let him know. That's how you put out the fire, you hear me.
Yeah.
But if you're sharing your feelings with the intention, I want you to change, you're not good, you should do better, or I need to teach you because I know so much more than you, you're pushing him away. Forget it. You're the one who needs to learn. I tell you, women, if you want men to read my books, do anything, you don't say you need this. Mm-hmm. You go to him and say, here's a chapter on men. It's amazing. This guy writes about men and women, and he's right on when he talks about me. But when he talks about men, it's pretty weird. And you read this one little paragraph and tell me if you relate to it.
Yeah.
And tell me. Now, he's the teacher. You don't push a man down to, you know, like you need better. I know better. He already knows you don't know better because you don't give him what he needs. Just like you feel he doesn't know better. The whole thing is training, learning how to train a man. Another thing I would suggest besides this wonderful podcast is go and watch my TED talk. It's just 20 minutes. Yeah. And it's a red shirt TED talk to 1,000 couples, and everybody's laughing and it's fun. And it's a way of looking at ourselves when nobody feels wrong. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is you can see how different I become as a man when I'm doing my other TED talk, which is in San Francisco to, San Francisco is the alternative lifestyle for everybody. You don't even know who they are, what they are, what he or she or they are, what
gender. Yeah.
So nobody is married in the audience. It's a TED talk, and they didn't come to hear me here. It's the worst talk I've ever given. And it's a TED talk because the audience is dead. They don't relate to it because they're not in relationships.
Wow.
Once you're in a relationship, that's where this stuff becomes real. Mm. And so many people are so far away. They're so lost. Mm. Women on their male side, men lost on their female side. And what does it mean for a man to be lost on his female side? He doesn't make a commitment in a relationship. He just wants to indulge himself. Mm. He wants to his pornography and masturbate, and he wants to have one woman and another woman. This is the traditional playboy. Mm-hmm. The playboy was a man whose father made all the money, so he never had to earn money. So his masculinity is very weak.
Right.
When you're dependent on others, your femininity grows. And that's what we're trying to be, is interdependent, to have some dependence. I depend on my wife for love and support and everything, but I'm very independent. If she's in a bad mood, I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a happy person. I don't depend on her for my happiness. I depend on her to become happier.
Yeah.
She gives color to my life. And as soon as I start blaming her, that means I'm not back to my true self. And the same thing is true for women. We're grown-ups now. If you're going to be on your male side, women, you got to grow up and take responsibility for irrational emotions, embrace them, but recognize negativity is an overreaction.
Yeah.
So you say to your partner, you know, I'm just triggered right now. I'm overreacting. You know, it's my stuff. But when you did this, it was really upsetting me. I just want to say what I feel for 10 minutes and I'll be done with it. You don't have to change in any way. I just wanted you to understand my sensitivities and maybe you can make a small adjustment. Mm. Boy, a man would jump hoops for you. But you say you should be different. You should change. How you hurt me. You did this. Minimize. When you minimize, he will maximize. Mm. If you amplify, he will always minimize. These are just these forces that go together. They're the forces of the universe. You know, you can't have matter unless you've got expansion and contraction at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you just have expansion, everything blows up. If you have just contraction, you have a black hole. Mm-hmm. We are a balance of those two forces, and our relationship is a balance of those two forces. And our younger generation, the culture today, has lost that. They're losing it. They're all over the place. And that creates hypersensitivity. Everything is affecting them. They have no grounding in who they are as worthy, competent, capable people. Relationship, using these skills, can help us come together and find our balance. This is such important information. If I could do anything for the world, for me at least, I would be doing this. If I could solve any problem, it would be helping mom and dad love each other so children grow up balanced. Children are lost today. Now we have the whole trans movement in America. At 9 years old, you can elect to get an operation and take hormones to change your sex.
Jesus.
A rebellious child, you know, they get tattoos, they do all kinds of things to rebel against their parents. Anything to upset your parents, if you're upset with them, you'll do that. And that's the in fashion thing, is now to deny your own gender. This is insanity. You know, you want to do that as a grown up, you're free to do what you want.
But as a child,
you need the right support and boys need this extra support to be more masculine. They need the presence of a father.
Right.
See, what's happening is you get a lot of gender confusion because boys are growing up without fathers or mothers that are happy with their fathers. If a mother is not happy, okay, with a man, the little boy is getting the message that masculinity is not good enough. And therefore, how can I feel good about being male? And the same thing for a little girl. The little girl grows up without a mother who's being supported by a man in some way. It doesn't have to be married, but necessarily, but she's getting her emotional needs fulfilled as a woman through a man. Then that little girl is going to go, how can I ever trust a man? You've got experiences growing up. So if I can't trust a man, then femininity, the part of us that's feminine, is dependent on others to support us. Estrogen gets produced. Women need 20 times more estrogen than a man to be happy and fulfilled in a marriage, 10 times more just to be happy. Mm-hmm. So that estrogen levels have to go up. Estrogen goes up when you're depending on someone for support. And what does a man need to be attracted to a woman? To feel that she can depend on him for something, something meaningful. Mm-hmm. So we've just lost so much and it's just going the wrong direction. Mm. So you know, thank God that we still have some people on this planet that realize that men and women are different. And yeah, equality,
okay. Yeah.
respecting the differences, inclusiveness is the ultimate loving relationship. Is when my wife is overreacting to something, I can empathize with her and realize that's not my reaction, but I can understand that reaction if I was in her situation. So I can relate to that in some way, so I can be inclusive of her. But at the same time, I'm not the same as her. Mm. We don't want to have to demand sameness from our partners. And when women say, I want this conscious man who doesn't go to his cave, and the big question comes up, how long does he get to go to the cave? And I say to women, how long do you get to be upset?
Yeah. You know,
how long does a romantic date have to be?
I love how this is.
How many days do we have to wait before you want to have sex again?
Yeah. I love
so,
how this is.
The answer to that, let me give a good answer to that, though. My cave time as a well-adjusted male, successful in my marriage, so forth, is a bottom line of 30 minutes a day. I need 30 minutes to 45 minutes to watch my news programs to forget all my problems.
Yeah.
And then I'm available. And then sometimes I need a couple of hours. And if I had a stressful day, sometimes I need a weekend. You need a good weekend with the guys, go fishing, play basketball, go on a trip, do guy things with guys. What I do instead of those weekends, sometimes what I'll do is I have my men's support group. I think it's really important for men to be together without women around.
Yeah.
Just like it's very important for women to be together and men aren't around, because you know you say things and talk about things that you would not say around men. You feel I can be myself. Men need to be able to make jokes, make fun of each other, have wit-filled put-downs, playfulness, opinions, have non-aggressive differences of opinion. Mm-hmm. And I love that with my men's group. You know, actually, I have to toughen up them a little bit sometimes by even being more contrary than I am, just to let them know you got to get off this righteousness stuff. Not everybody thinks the way you do. We need to have differences. We need to be playful and okay with differences. In America, it used to be where you get these politicians on the left and the right, and they'd have dinner together. They'd be friends. They could talk about their differences. Now they hate each other. Mm-hmm. They literally hate each other. Mm. And now also we have the pandemic. Vaccinated people hate the unvaccinated people. Mm-hmm. The unvaccinated people are kind of like, well, do what you want. Just don't tell me what to do what I want.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is all coming down to let's be healthy. Yep. And the healthiest thing you can do for immune system is let go of your anger, let go of your resentments, let go of your rejections, open up your heart. This is what strengthens the immune system. In science, there's nothing more powerful for a strong immune system. And you might look in COVID why obesity is one of the cofactors that makes you most vulnerable to being seriously ill with this COVID thing. Mm-hmm. And also high blood pressure. And both of those things occur when your heart's not open. Obesity is basically, rather than feel your unhappy feelings, I'd rather eat them away. You always know that if you're feeling a little uncomfortable inside, just go eat some food. Mm-hmm. You feel so good. You know, what I do, I know I've been in the cave too long. I'll be watching the news and I'll be in the cave or a show on TV. If I need to snack, like I start wanting chips, that means I've now don't need to be in the cave. I turn it off at that point. Mm. You see, whenever you're eating junk food, foods that you know are not, I don't choose to eat junk food, but I have it around when I want it, I've got it. So whenever you choose to eat something that empty calories, basically, junk food. If I'm indulging in junk food, I'm too far on my female side if I'm a man. And I'm depending on that to be happy. And for women, when they eat too much or eat the wrong things, they're depending on those things to make them happy because there's other things in their life that are healthy for them that's not making them happy. Mm-hmm. So you'll see this as women will gain weight after the first 9 months of marriage. It's a standard thing. It's the extra nine or something because they had all these high hopes. And then when things aren't working out the way they want, they're trying to be a positive partner and pushing down any negative feelings. What happens is then they compensate by being more hungry. So often we eat in order to push down our emotions. Yeah. We need to journal and process our feelings that way. And I've written many books on how to do that. That's why people need to go to coaches or therapists that can be helpful. That's why in religion, it was so helpful for many years when actually people believed in what the book said. When people actually believe every word of the book, what happens is they feel that God loves them and supports them, knows their name. And so that's a feeling of I'm not alone. It's a big estrogen producer. And so many young people today have let go of religion, have let go of any belief in God or the universe because they think it's not scientific. It breaks down with logic at certain points. And so what happens is you don't feel I have that support. And that's a major, major estrogen stimulator for women. And for men, if you believe you're being righteous and doing the right thing, it's a big testosterone producer that I'm doing the solution. But when you don't have a guide above you, we all need that. And if it's not God, it needs to be people that inspire you, people who can guide you. Go to a therapist, go to a coach, go to a priest if you're religious. You need to have somebody in your life that knows more than you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're alone. That's one of our needs. Another one is, as you know, is when you're an adult, you know, I'm the boss of my life. You know, I control my life, but I also have to recognize I don't know everything. I need help from others. Mm-hmm. So even though I've read all these books, I'm an expert on all these things. I read all the time. I get a lot now from the YouTube talks, you know, and the TED talks and whatever. There's so many brilliant people out in this world. Any show I watch, I learn something new. We can all learn. Mm-hmm. And that's a need that we have as well. Which is to continue learning and growing. Otherwise, we're going to be irritated and annoyed by our partners.
So, John, where can people find John and where can they find your material?
Well, you know, I talked a lot about sex today, so I'd recommend go to marsvenus.com and take my little academy course called online course on secrets of great sex, because I can't just freely talk about those details. Sure. You have to, we're more intimate. There's another course that we have at marsvenus.com for women only, and that's how to balance your hormones through we time, me time, and you time. Serving others produces testosterone. Me time is what produces progesterone, and we time is estrogen. And at different times of the month, you need more estrogen, you need more progesterone, and you need more testosterone. So what behaviors are good for you at that time and how to motivate your partner to give you the support you need at that time and how to set your boundaries. A lot of stuff for women to put into practice. It's a course called How to Get Your Me Time, but it literally teaches women how to come back to your female side and then use the man to come back to your female side. Right. So that's and maybe it's mislabeled because a lot of single women go, all I have is me time. And I go, yeah, but you don't have quality me time with a man. How do you have quality me time with a man is the real trick there. So those are two courses that we have there. We have excellent, excellent free online courses. You can write to the front page. It's how to get everything you want in your relationship, a free online course. We do wonderfully produced blogs for people. So come to marsvenus.com. And if you forget that, you know, you can just say Men Are From Mars on a Google search or John Gray Mars. Mm-hmm. If you just do John Gray now, some Christian minister comes up. That's okay. I like him. That's good. But I don't come up anymore. So you have to. I've been canceled, by the way. I don't know if you know that. 20 years ago, cancel culture got me. I used to be on every single talk show. And when Men Are From Mars was the number one biggest selling book of the whole decade. Number one of all. Okay. This sold more copies than anything. The feminists just came down really heavy on me. And they said, this is too much sexism. You can't have this guy on. Wow. And that was the cancel culture. Because see, cancel culture started with feminism. It's like, we want to cancel men. That was the beginning of it, is that men are oppressors. Now in America, at least, it's white men are oppressors. If you're a white man, you're an oppressor, you know? And, you know, I just feel how uncomfortable that would be for, you know, one of my grandsons was over swimming at the pool at my house. And one of his friends is black. And he's being taught in school that I'm a white man. I'm an oppressor. He couldn't talk to me.
Really?
He was so intimidated by me.
Really?
And I was in my house. I'm there. And I understand. I got a big house, a swimming pool, a little intimidating. However, he couldn't even look at me.
Wow.
Because inside he's been told, I am a bad person. I'm an oppressor. My abundance and my success in life is because I have oppressed black people.
Wow.
That's what they're teaching in America. This is like really crazy stuff.
Wow.
So we keep moving into creating oppression, and oppression just separates people. We separated men and women. They've done that one. Now we want to separate the minorities from the majority, and we create this opposition. And now they've got the next oppression, which is the people who are vaccinated are being oppressed by the people who are unvaccinated.
Yeah.
But the logic, I just have to say for a moment, I just have to say my point of view. If you're vaccinated, you got vaccinated to protect yourself. If I'm not vaccinated, what's your problem?
That's right.
And if other people choose, I can understand it if we didn't have, quote, the vaccination. Mm-hmm. Okay, then you're spreading it. You need to wear a mask. You need to. But once you have, for people who choose, and it's free in America, is everywhere to get a vaccination, which theoretically protects you. Then if somebody doesn't choose that, why is it your problem? And the hospital workers are told you have to get vaccinated or you're fired. That's the most recent thing. And now there's a shortage of nurses because 25% of them have been fired because they don't want to get the vaccination.
Yeah, we're in the same place here in Australia where all the nurses are like, we worked all through this pandemic without a vaccination. None of us got sick and you were hailing us as heroes. Now you're firing us because we're not. Mm. And it just doesn't make sense. You know, it just doesn't.
And also, if you got COVID, I got COVID. I have immune system protection. You can't even give me a cold. My immune system is so strong because I'm low. You can't get sick.
That's right.
But if you have problems, I get it. So you want to protect yourself. It's shown to protect yourself from serious illness. But to make people wrong because they've already had COVID or they're really healthy. And that's what the nurses are saying. We didn't get sick. Why do I have to do that? Because there is potential side effects with the vaccination. Mm-hmm. Although my belief is still the potential side effects is probably from people that would have needed the vaccination anyway, because if they got COVID. But I don't know. We just don't know. But we do know, why can you hate somebody for not being vaccinated when that's their choice to do? And if you're vaccinated, you're protected. Mm. So people go, well, you're not caring for everybody else. Well, everybody can get a vaccination if they choose. So this is some ulterior control thing that's going on. And there are people in this world who want control. You don't relate to it. I don't relate to it. Mm. People who are just following all the rules, they just go, oh, they're just thinking for us. But there's people that actually get off. And I'm the big boss. Yeah. I can tell you what to do. I can move people around. This is like crazy. Mm. And of course, we in America are looking at Australia right now. We've seen the media always shows the worst, but they show crowds of people saying, give us freedom, and horses or the police are on horses, which is very thrilling for Americans because our policemen don't ride horses. So it's like, looks like pandemonium is breaking out.
I think, that sort of stuff that's going on really brings out and shows people's characters. Do you know what I mean? Like it really.
Fight or flight.
Shows a person's character. And I think that sometimes that's kind of important because it over time it's made me really look at who I am, you know, because I come from an oppressed country. You know, I came from Ireland where it was just horrific, you know. But over time I've really had to. I'm a big believer in, you know, I've said it all through my career, the precursor to transformation is chaos. And we require chaos to transform. And that is...
Yeah, I'm right with you. And and also involves suffering as well.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately, we're right in the eye of the storm, I think.
We are in the eye of the storm. And there's going to be so much good stuff coming from all of them.
Yeah.
People are waking up. They're just waking up in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Let me say one other thing before we end, although I said that was about the last story, but you hit a really, it's a character. You see a person's character when they're in times of high stress, okay? Yeah. At the same time, let's be a little compassionate and know that at times of high stress, people are not who they really are.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay, and literally, because I know a lot of couples I've worked with and they'll say, yeah, but he said he never loved me anyway.
Yeah.
And she said, you've never made me happy. And I should have never married you in the first place. And I knew it. You never loved me. And I have to calm people down and say, wait a second. When you're not your true self, you express the opposite of your true self.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because at a moment of stress that came out, that's not who they really are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, what you're saying, you can see how many people are at times of stress. You can also measure how many people are grounded in their true self.
Yes, yeah.
But the negativity that comes forth is, I just don't believe negative feelings. When people have negative feelings, that's not who they really are.
Yeah.
Emotions are negative when our thinking is not in alignment with our soul.
Yeah.
Some people are not grounded in their soul yet, but they're getting there.
Yeah. And I think that that's the point, is that we have to have this happen for us to stop and understand who we are and have compassion for our fellow man. And I mean, the thing that has only ever stopped oppression in any situation has been compassion and empathy. And I think there's true leaders will really emerge out of this that will be men, be women, and have compassion and empathy for and understanding for one another. And I think that that's, you know, that's what's in my line of sight at the end of the day. Not this short term nonsense, you know, because, you know, if this has happened again and again and again over time, and we have to be aware of it.
Happens again. You know, America did it once before in the war against terror, where we went into Iraq, which had nothing to do with terrorism.
I know.
It's a long war, and created Al Qaeda, made it all bigger and everything. Yeah. You know, we went in there and we took over, and then we dismantled their army. So these people didn't have any money, all the soldiers. So they joined Al Qaeda. We created America, created terrorism. You know, I fought against that war. I fought against Afghanistan right from the beginning. I said, this is such nonsense. And for all those people who want to say that if women ran the world, there'd be no war, we should run the world together in harmony. I'll say that.
Yes.
But when I was at University of Southern California giving a lecture on Men from Mars, and of course, we were just about to bomb Afghanistan. And I went out there and gave a big talk anti-bombing Afghanistan. But prior to that talk, we're watching them. They started that war. It was on TV. And I was in a teacher's lounge, the academics, 9 academic women saying, yes, we should go in. I'm saying, what are you talking about? What's it going to do? You think us going in is going to save anything except make it worse? Mm-hmm. Oh, we should, poor women. You can't go in and change other people. We have to first start changing ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can have a harmonious country, which we don't have now. We can think about other countries.
And I think that it's importantly, you know, I think that everything we've said today, everything you've spoken about has all come back down to that. It's about taking responsibility. Rather than trying to get your husband to come along for the ride, take responsibility of the masculine and the feminine within yourself. Take responsibility for knowing how to communicate to another human being. When you have that responsibility, then you can be empowered. And when you're empowered, then you have. It's not about the other person. It's about your own ability to be able to communicate in a way that, you know, brings them along for the ride.
Empowered.
You know, you asked me to do one more thing before we're finished. One more thing. But you said, how can somebody going through the 4 R's, besides being aware of it and knowing I need to handle my own feelings to get out of this, there's another thing that can help. And that's where we come into this new knowledge of how our hormones are different. And that often when you're going through the 4 R's, that's when women feel like when they're feeling, I can't get what I need from my partner. I need him to change. And she's wanting him to be more like what she wants to be, which is open and vulnerable and loving and connected. She needs to become that. But what's happening is she's trying to get him to become that. And he will become more judgmental, more critical, more passive, more exclusive, more defensive if he's on his female side. So what she needs to do when he's emotionally unavailable, meaning that he's not really there for her, he's in touch with his emotions, but not available for her.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel his love for her. At that time, what she needs to do is out female him. She needs to go more to her crazy female side. He's on his crazy female side, which means he's emotionally unavailable, means he's not attentive to her. Mm-hmm. He's about him. He's just about him. That's what happens to men when they go to their female side. So she needs to really work at how do I out female him? Because if she goes to her female and asks for his help, he's now on his masculine. Mm, right. So that means don't listen to him. Don't engage with arguing whatever stuff he does wrong. Instead, come back to being your feminine side, which is not dependent solely on him, depending on your life to be happy, then depending on him to make you happier. And doing that by learning how to share your feelings with him. And most importantly, share your positive feelings. Focus on the positive. You know, we really need to get out of the habit of complaining. I would suggest to every woman listening, do an experiment. Don't tell your husband you're doing it. Just secretly, I'm not going to utter a complaint to him this whole month. I'm not going to give any message of dissatisfaction. And I'm even going to fake it to be happy to see him and happy and appreciative of the little things that he does and make comments of how happy it made you feel. Even if you have to fake it. Just men don't even know in the beginning. If you fake forever, it doesn't work. But a few fakes are okay. Just practice being a positive energy around him and grateful. You know, I coached Oprah for 7 years until I got canceled from all the shows. And Oprah, every day she writes out what she's grateful for. You know, it's like, because for her, she's so on her male side. That's one of the most powerful things to come back to her female side, mm-hmm. is to write out and express to others her gratitude. And if women could just do that, even today, just start with things you're grateful for. Start looking at the little things your husband does for you. And maybe he's doing nothing at this point. Then you look at what does him being married to me, what am I grateful for? I don't have to go to restaurants by myself. If I got sick, I know he would be there. If I was all by myself, I'd be more scared at night. You never know what's going to happen. It's nice to have somebody in the house. Nice to have a warm body in the house that would protect you. Mm-hmm. You know, come back to some of the basics of life and be grateful for that. Your job as women is to recognize what you're grateful for. That's how you find the magic formula to bring out the best in a man, as opposed to what you're not grateful for. Mm-hmm. Just ignore that for a month. Focus on what you're grateful for. If you need to express emotion, do it with a therapist or do it with a coach and just say, this is my negative stuff. I don't want my husband to hear it because it's not real. Mm. You see, it's overreaction. It's all overreaction. And how can I say that? Because for 10 years, I couldn't say it. You know, this was the huge climate of it. I mean, Freud explained it. All of our unhappiness is overreaction. But then men use that phrase to diminish women. Mm. And that's, I agree with that. But when I'm saying overreacting, I'm saying you need to do that to build your estrogen. You just have to also recognize that's not really your full logical brain working at that moment. Yeah. It is irrational. Mm-hmm. We all, and men do it too, we all were upset, make believe a world much worse than it is. And we need to wake up, and we're starting to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. John.
Thank you so much. I feel like we could talk for another 4 hours.
I know.
More things to talk about. But that was really, really cool. I know our guys are going to love that. And as usual, we would love to talk to you again sometime down the track. That was so awesome.
There's some questions that come in from this, and I'm happy to answer them.
Sure. Perfect. Thank you so much for your time. Okay. Enjoy your evening over there.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks.
Hey, whether this is you at the beginning of your personal development journey or you're perhaps immersed in your growth and transformation, at MJB Seminars, we have everything to help you live an inspired life.
If this episode resonated and you're looking for more information on how to have an actual breakthrough and transform your life, visit us over at mjbseminars.com.au and book yourself in for a complimentary discovery coaching call.
Also, make sure you like and follow us over on Instagram and Facebook. And review and subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer today.